I remember going out with a young lady, and I remember her offering to take me out. Now, this would have been our second or third date. I really can't remember, but I remember being so impressed by the fact that she asked to take me out in such a short amount of time. I said, she gets it. She understands reciprocation. She understands the value of money. She understands giving and taking. She understands fairness, all these things I gave her credit for understanding. And so I was very impressed by this. And again, this would have been our second or third date. I think it may have been our third date. Anyway, she comes and picks me up. And I remember specifically, we went to TGI Fridays. And she picked me up, took me to the restaurant. Now, the goal was for us to go to TGI Fridays and to go to the movies. But we get there, no but, we get there, and it's a great conversation. You know, we're talking, it's everything's flowing, we're eating, having a good time. I'm cracking jokes, she's laughing, I mean, everything is good. The conversation is flowing. And then the bill comes, but the conversation is so good, we don't stop talking, we just keep going back and forth. Like I said, she's feeling your boy. So she looks at her phone and she says, well, we have to get ready to go to the movies. And I say, okay, let's go. And she looks at me bewildered. And she's like, well, aren't you going to pay for the meal? I said, well, wait a minute. You told me you were going to take me out. And she goes, oh, no, I meant I was going to pick you up. I said, now, listen, I might have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night. And I felt real offended by this because I felt like she was trying to run game on me. And honestly, it could have been a misunderstanding. She could have been sincere in her intentions, but I didn't believe at the time. So I remember she had a Christian Dior purse. And I said, listen, based on what you said, I cannot pay for this meal. I said, I can pay for my half. I can't pay for your half. She's upset now. She says, listen, all I have is $20. I said, but you got this Christian Dior bag. And I said, you got a $1,000 bag. I don't know the price of the bag. I just said $1,000. And you only have $20 in it. I said, why not reverse it? Why not have $980 in a $20 bag? Now she's getting upset because I'm insulting her finances. So we going back and forth arguing, pay for the bill, we get in the parking lot, and now she's really letting loose in the parking lot. And so I play it cool and wait until we get into the car. And we get into the car, let her have it. You know, I'm going off. You broke, you trying to get over, you trying to game me. I'm a silverback, you can't. I'm a silverback in the cage, but somebody left the cage open. I'm just talking greasy. She going back and forth. You broke this, you cheap this, all this. So she gets upset to the point where, I'll never forget this, we're on 285. We on I-285 heading east, going to the east side. Headed to Boulder Crest. Now at this time, I'm about 2 miles from Boulder Crest, the Boulder Crest exit. And she says, get out. I said, shoot, no problem. I get out and start walking. Now, this girl has her hazards on, window rolled down, cursing me out. And guess what? I'm right back at her, too. I didn't stop. I said, I'll walk home. But I refuse to let you talk to me like this. Not me. Anyway, she pulls over and said, gets out, and she says, let me take you home. She said, for real, I want to take you home for real. I say, okay. I get back in the car, and she says, listen, I like you, you cool, and I mean, we got upset, we arguing, but I just felt like you should have paid. And I said, listen, I don't have a problem with you, but I felt like you made a play on words. You know, taking me out means taking me out. And so we get to my apartment and she actually said, you know what? You cool, I respect you. I said, you know what? I respect you. And every time I saw that girl after that, she always showed me love. I guess the moral of the story is, men, don't be a sucker. Stand firm on your principles. If you stand firm on your principles, women will respect you. But when you compromise your principles, they won't. Had I folded, I would have been like every other guy she encountered. But she respected me so much that she pulled the car over again and picked me up and took me home because she didn't want to see a king walk. Stand firm on your principles, man. And I guarantee you will always be successful. Welcome to the Dirty Soapbox. I was on divorce court yesterday, not as a participant, but as a guest in the audience. And I saw a common theme. And the common theme was people had very dysfunctional relationships, but they felt like marriage was going to solve their problems. And I want to give you all a newsflash real quick. In order to have a happy marriage, the two people have to be happy before they get married. And I know it sounds like it's a no-brainer, but you'd be surprised at how many people think that marriage is going to fix or solve a problem. Now, many of you all will say, well, Blanchard, you're not married. And I said, you are 100% correct. But I believe that marriage doesn't count unless you're happy. So if you've been married 5 years and you haven't been happy for 5 years, then you and I are in the same boat because marriage doesn't count unless you're happy. If you're not happy, then marriage is just a roommate situation. I'm sorry. Anyway, a lot of couples on the show felt like marriage was going to somehow change everything. And I'm thinking to myself, if you all are struggling and arguing and fighting and doing all these bad things to each other without being married, what is a marriage license going to do? It's not going to do anything. So you all are going to a judge, hoping this judge grants you the marriage license or approves you all to get married. And it just opened my eyes to the fact that many people out there have no clue to even why they even want to get married. They literally want to get married because they think marriage is something that is going to change their life. I mean, make them happy. Coach Krzyzewski said something so profound one time. He said, winning has to be joy. It can't be relief. And I say that marriage has to be joy. It can't be relief. It can't be relief from some pressure you're feeling in your life, nor can it be used to apply pressure to someone else's life. Do you all understand that marriage is designed for two people to come together? But it's also design and its intended purpose to make us like God. Because what we're doing is we're putting someone else before us for the rest of our lives. We no longer put ourselves first. So me being a man, my wife will be the person that's constantly in front of me. So when I'm thinking about doing something, I'm putting her in consideration always first, because I'm putting her above myself. That's the design of marriage, is to make us like God, to make us selfless, to make us love even when it hurts, to make us do these things even when we don't want to do them. That's the design of marriage, to keep us honest. is God's way of keeping us honest. That's why God does not get involved with who we choose as a mate. Because the beauty about marriage and the beauty about this divine process is it's your choice. You choose. You choose this person to love forever. You choose to be with this person forever. It's the choice that you made. You know why? Because you're going to get the blessings and benefits from it. But marriage is not going to solve anything. Marriage has a deep intended purpose. And that's for us, in my opinion, to be like God, to be selfless, to have all the qualities and attributes that God has when dealing with us, to love somebody that much that you basically give them your life. It's not relief. It's not to catch up on bills. It's not to look good in front of people. It's not to get a ring. It's not to have a house. It's not to have a picket fence, 2.5 kids, a dog. It's not for none of that stuff. It is for that purpose. So if it's for that purpose, then the intention behind getting married has to be as pure as God's intention. And I just saw yesterday that most people think that marriage is going to save them, and it's not. The only thing that will save a person is a person's character. Somebody had a quote and it said that a man's character is his faith. I know many of you all are like, Blanchard, you don't know you're not married. I am not married. But I know one thing. And I know that you getting married did not solve anything. I know that for a fact. Whatever problems you had before marriage got magnified when you were married. So my advice to all of you people are, find somebody that you like first. Hold off on love. Just find somebody that you like and enjoy being around. Find somebody that you don't mind spending time with. Find somebody you can just sit and talk with. Find somebody that you can coexist with without the drama. Just find somebody you can build with. Find somebody to be your peace. We act like this is all common sense, but sense ain't common. Anyway, I want you all to be blessed. And remember, winning has to be joy. It can't be relief. Thank you. I saw a video recently of Kim Kardashian talking with a show host about her husband, Kanye, asking her to not work with a company that was basically a knockoff company of his fashion brand. And she even admitted it was a knockoff company. But she said they offered her $1 million. So she was going to post for them. They offered her $1 million to put a post on her page of their brand. But their brand is a direct competitor against her husband's brand. So she was going to do it, and Kanye had to ask her not to do it. Her whole point was, it's $1 million, that's a lot of money. And he had to ask her not to do it. So a week later on Mother's Day, he sends her the flowers, you know, the roses, and then a special delivered an envelope with the $1 million check inside. And he basically asked her to be his business partner. And, you know, the host was so happy and thought it was just so great. And Kim Kardashian is smiling, and I'm over there just disgusted, wanting to throw up. I said, this is the problem with society. This woman is willing to compromise her husband's brand for some money. This is her better half. Think about that. Her husband has to ask her to not work with the enemy. And you all are telling me how great this is. You all are telling me that's business. I said, this is terrible. I want to throw up. If my wife, my better half, the woman I gave my life to, the woman I have children with, the woman I'm sharing everything with, wants to do business with a competitor of mine, we're getting a divorce. It's over. You're working with the enemy. And everybody's applauding and praising this. And I said, this is the problem with relationships. Let me get more specific. This is the problem with marriages. It's the intent of the people in the marriage. How does $1 million justify you going against my trust? You dishonoring me. How does $1 million justify you working with the enemy? How does $1 million justify anything? If they had offered a $10 million, then what? If they offer $100 million, then what? She let the whole world know that she had a price. And that's terrible. Because that price comes at her husband's expense. I'm not going to say whether she's a good person or whether she's a bad person. I'm going to say, judging by her character on this one, this is not wifey material. If I'm married to a woman and she's even contemplating working with the enemy, working with a competitor, it's over. It should be a no-brainer. Matter of fact, when they asked her to do it, she should have cussed them out. Because she admitted they literally steal from Kanye's brand. She admitted it. So they only asked her because they knew she wasn't loyal to her husband. Either they didn't respect Kanye or they didn't respect the marriage. Either way, they saw a chink in the armor and they only offered her $1 million. Because they knew $1 million would make her compromise her husband, and that's sad. There was a movie called Indecent Proposal. And that man offered that couple $1 million. I think it was Robert Redford to sleep with Demi Moore. For $1 million. He could have offered 10, but he knew $1 million would set them over and do it. And they did it. And they did it. You know why? Because the intentions of the people in the marriage. The main intent for a marriage should be my wife. And for her, the main intent should be for her husband. The intention is each other. The intention should go towards preserving each other. Because in a marriage, you're supposed to become one flesh. But you all are praising Kim Kardashian and Kanye as marriage goals, as relationship goals. And I'm like, are y'all crazy? I wouldn't do my friends like that. Intents are everything. Intents. The intentions of why you're doing something is everything. They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know why? Because everybody meant well. People meant well. They didn't execute it, but they meant well. I'm telling you all now, no amount of money should compromise your relationship. Not with your family, not with your friends, and especially not with your spouse. Because that's the person you chose to give your life to. So I want you all to be blessed. I love you all. And ladies and men, please go into everything with the right intentions. Thank you. Listen, pick someone when you're picking a mate, spouse, or friend even. Pick someone that you have enough respect for to give your best to. I believe in God's great design. God wanted us to be like God. And in that great design, God said the best way for these things that I've created to be like me in character and in deed and intent is for them to put others before them. Because the one thing that plagues the planet, it's selfishness. And relationships are the cure for selfishness. So in God's great design, God is like, you know what? If they're unselfish, they can see things how I see things. And I just think that we have to pick people that we respect enough to give our best to. Because the relationship is about the other person. I should be thinking about her, and she should be thinking about me. It's about reciprocation. It's about respect. It's about putting the other person forward or first. In romantic relationships, in family relationships, and in friendship relationships. In all relationships, we should be thinking about the other person. And if everybody did that, the world would literally be perfect. But most of us are selfish and we have the wrong intentions when we enter into relationships. We're going off of looks. We're going off of status. We're going off of finances. We're going off of pressure from society, pressure from family, loneliness, depression. All these things we're picking, these reasons to go into relationships. And then we wonder why they aren't successful. And in relationships, it's all based on honor. Because you're choosing someone to give your best to. You're deeming someone worthy. And it's not based on how much money they have or how good they look. It's based on who they are as a person. I love you all. But I want you all to love yourself. And love yourself enough to have the best relationships that you can have. Because guess what? It's your choice. You chose that person. So let your next move be your best move. And always enter into something with the right intentions. Always. Always have the right intentions. Always. And make sure that right intention is executed with your action. Remember, relationships are not about you. It's about the other person. I want to thank you all for listening today. I want you all to start treating yourself and stop cheating yourself. I want you all to get in relationships that you both can grow in. And I want you all to stop looking at relationships as a life vest, a safety raft, a safety harness, a net. A relationship is not meant to save you. A relationship is meant to make you the best person that you can be. Thank you, and I love you. Wait for it. Free Blanche. Get money.